News of the Church. Elder W. Mark Bassett, First Quorum of the 70. Every summer, as a little boy, W. Mark Bassett would travel with his family from their home in the Sacramento, California, USA area to visit his maternal grandmother in Alabama, USA. During their days traveling there, the family would regularly make a point to visit church historic sites. Whether it was visiting the historic grounds of Nauvoo, Illinois, or walking through the Sacred Grove in Palmyra, New York, Elder Bassett remembers the powerful feelings he had, even as a young boy, as he visited these sacred places. "We felt something there," he says. "That's how my testimony was formed, through little experiences." That testimony gained as a young man has been a source of strength for Elder Bassett throughout his life. Born on August 14, 1966, to Edwina Acker and William Lynn Bassett in Carmichael, California, Elder Bassett is the second of five children. Serving in the church and living the gospel were important priorities in his family. After serving in the Guatemala City Mission from 1985 to 1987, Elder Bassett moved to Provo, Utah to attend Brigham Young University. He married Angela Brasher in the Salt Lake Temple on December 20, 1989. They are the parents of five children and have two grandchildren. In 1991, Elder Bassett earned a degree in accounting from BYU and later moved with his family back to the Sacramento area to work in the wholesale auto auction industry. He worked as controller at Brasher's Sacramento Auto Auction and as the chief financial officer and co-owner of West Coast Auto Auctions, Incorporated, where he operated automobile auctions throughout the western United States. Elder Bassett has served in many capacities in the church, including ward young men president, bishop, high counselor, stake president, president of the Arizona Mesa Mission from 2007 to 2010, and Area 70. Elder Mark A. Bragg, First Quorum of the 70. When Mark Bragg was 14 years old, friends from his baseball team introduced his family to the church. Mark was baptized, and his mother became active. "It changed our lives," says Elder Bragg. Mark Allen Bragg was born on April 16, 1962, in Santa Monica, California, USA, to Donald E. and Diane Bragg. While attending the University of Utah, Elder Bragg was called to serve in the Mexico Monterrey Mission under the direction of Mission President Roy H. King and his wife, Darlene O. King. When Elder Bragg completed his missionary service, he began dating his mission president's youngest daughter, Yvonne. They married in the Los Angeles, California Temple on March 17, 1984. After the untimely death of Elder Bragg's father, the couple returned to California to start his career in the banking industry. He completed his career as Senior Vice President of Bank of America and to be close to Elder Bragg's mother. It would be 7 years before children would join the Bragg family. "At times we felt out of place, even in our family," recalls Elder Bragg. Then, on the best day in the world, Sister Bragg gave birth to the first of four children. "I remember thinking there couldn't be anyone happier than I was at the moment," Elder Bragg says. Life has not always been easy for the family, however. The day after Elder Bragg was sustained as a bishop in the ward where he grew up, his mother was tragically killed during a car hijacking. Her funeral was the first one he presided over as a bishop. "The Relief Society was there for our family every day," he recalls. Those lessons of love, service, and empathy would guide Elder Bragg through his future service in the church as a stake president, Area 70, and temple ordinance worker.
Elder Weatherford T. Clayton, First Quorum of the 70. Elder Weatherford T. Clayton is extremely grateful for the opportunity to serve. The work of the Lord is a priority for him. He feels a great love for people and strong ties to his family. With the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can all gather home, says Elder Clayton. My family has felt the influence of those who have gone before. They are as real as those who are present. Born in California, USA, on March 1, 1952, to Whitney Clayton Jr. and Elizabeth Touchstone Clayton, Elder Clayton gained a strong testimony in his youth of home teaching. Because of the efforts of a home teacher, he, at age 12, and his family, accepted sacred gospel covenants and were sealed in the Salt Lake Temple in 1964 by then-Elder Harold B. Lee of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Thinking about ways the Lord prepared him to serve, Elder Clayton says he was often inspired by the example of others. I watched how friends and family dedicated their lives to the Lord and found their joy in the service they offered to God. After serving in the French-Canadian mission, he enrolled at the University of Utah, where he met Lisa Thomas. They were married on March 16, 1976, in the Salt Lake Temple. They are the parents of 5 children. Elder Clayton earned a degree in psychology and completed medical school at the University of Utah. He worked in a private medical practice as an obstetrician-gynecologist from 1985 to 2013, prior to his call to serve as president of the Canada-Toronto Mission. He has served as ward mission leader, gospel doctrine teacher, young men president, family history consultant, youth Sunday school teacher, bishop, high counselor, counselor in a stake presidency, and stake president. Elder Valery V. Cordon, First Quorum of the 70. From his mother, who joined the church at age 16, Elder Valery Vladimir Cordon Ariana received a foundation in the gospel that served him well when he moved 95 miles away from his hometown of Zacapa, Guatemala, to attend high school in Guatemala City and study computer science. The most important thing I received from my mother was to be very reverent about all the sacred things of the church, recalls Elder Cordon, who is the son of Ovidia and Emma Oriana Cordon. Elder Cordon was born on February 19, 1969, in Guatemala City and spent his boyhood in Zacapa. His father went to Chicago, Illinois, in the United States to work. While there, he was influenced by church members and received the message of the gospel from missionaries. The family was sealed in the Mesa, Arizona temple in 1972 when Valery was 3 years old. Elder Cordon says he grew to love the gospel as he heard his mother frequently singing church hymns and songs such as "I Am a Child of God" and "I Hope They Call Me on a Mission." Elder Cordon served in the El Salvador mission from 1987 to 1989. He married Glenda Zelmira Zea Diaz on March 25, 1995, in the Guatemala City, Guatemala Temple. Sister Cordon had intended to serve a mission herself, but her plans changed when she met Valery. Later, she recognized him as the young man who had caught her eye when she saw his photo in a church magazine years earlier. They have 3 daughters. Elder Cordon received a bachelor's degree from Mariano Galvez University in Guatemala in 2010 and a Master of Business Administration degree from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in 2012. He worked as an information systems director at a pharmaceutical company and since 2012 at PepsiCo Foods Mexico, Central America, and Caribbean. At the time of his call, Elder Cordon was serving in the Fourth Quorum of the 70 in the Central America area. He served in the presidency of the Costa Rica San Jose East Mission from 1998 to 2000.
Elder Joaquin E. Costa, First Quorum of the 70. A matchmaking friend set Joaquin Esteban Costa on the path that led to his conversion to the gospel of Jesus Christ, a temple marriage, and leadership in the church. Joaquin Costa was born on March 8, 1965, to Eduardo J. Costa and Graciela M. Fossi. As a university student in Buenos Aires, Argentina, a friend, Alain Spanaus, now in Area 70, introduced him to Rene Varela. A second-generation Latter-day Saint, Rene hesitated before accepting a date with a 21-year-old who was not a member of the church. After three dates, she decided she liked him too much and felt they shouldn't date anymore. At the end of the school year, he returned to his birthplace, Entre Rios, Argentina. Rene accepted a call to serve in the Chile Osorno mission. After she returned home, Brother Spanaus arranged for her and Joaquin to attend the same party, at which Joaquin asked her for a date. "I prayed and decided to give him a chance," Sister Costa says. Soon, Joaquin was learning about the church. As he studied with the missionaries, Rene asked him to pray and read the Book of Mormon from beginning to end. He didn't make it to the end before he received a strong testimony, Sister Costa says. "He didn't get baptized just to please me. We dated one more year and then married in the Buenos Aires, Argentina temple in 1989. Elder Costa received a bachelor's degree in economics in 1987 from the University of Buenos Aires. As a young couple, they moved to Provo, Utah, USA, where he received a Master of Business Administration degree in 1994 from Brigham Young University. They and their growing family, which includes four children, lived in Chicago, Illinois, USA, as he worked for a multinational investment banking and financial services corporation. His banking career took his family back to Argentina for a few years and then to the Czech Republic and to the Sultanate of Oman. For the past 2 years, he and his family have lived in Lima, Peru, where he has been working with a Danish investment firm focused on microfinance. Elder Massimo Di Feo, First Quorum of the 70. Shortly before accepting his full-time mission call, Elder Massimo Di Feo learned key lessons of sacrifice and love from his father, Vittorio Di Feo. The Di Feo family had few financial resources, and neither Vittorio nor his wife, Velia, were church members. But the elder Di Feo respected his son's desire to share the gospel. "My father asked me, 'Do you really want to do this?'" remembers Elder Di Feo. "I said, 'Yes, with all my heart. I want to serve the Lord.'" Vittorio promised to do all he could to help cover the cost of his son's 2 years of service in the Italy-Rome mission. "I consider that money to be sacred. It was the fruit of great sacrifice from a man who did not believe in the church," says Elder Di Feo. "So I served my mission with all my heart, might, mind, and strength, because I love the Lord and I love my Father." Gospel principles such as sacrifice, hard work, family, and service have helped define Elder Di Feo. Born in Toronto, Italy on December 14, 1960, Massimo Di Feo learned of the church at the age of 9 when two missionaries knocked on the door of his home. Massimo and his older brother, Alberto, were soon baptized. The Di Feo boys enjoyed the love and support of devoted branch leaders as they attended primary and later mutual. Massimo also made lifelong friends with other youth in the branch, including fellow convert Loredana Galeandro, whom he would marry after his mission. They were sealed on August 14, 1984, in the Bern, Switzerland temple. The Di Feos have three children. Prior to becoming a General Authority 70, Elder Di Feo lived in Rome and worked more than 30 years for the U.S. State Department. He has served as a branch president, district president, stake president, and Area 70.
Elder Peter F. Muirs, First Quorum of the 70. When he was young, Peter Muirs and his family lived next to a neighbor who ran a fix-anything shop for farming equipment. Peter and his best friend spent much time in the shop tinkering with farm equipment and building mini-bikes and go-karts. Peter later studied mechanical engineering at Monash University in Melbourne, Australia. While pursuing his studies at age 18, he informed the university that he needed a 2-year break to serve a mission for the church. He was told that he could defer for only 1 year. Deferring longer meant he would lose his place in his program. He decided not to serve. A short time later, however, he heard President Spencer W. Kimball, 1895 to 1985, proclaim during General Conference that every worthy young man should serve a mission. See Planning for a Full and Abundant Life, Ensign, May 1974, page 87. It was like he was speaking to me. He just went straight through me, Elder Muirs recalls. He decided to serve after all. 1 week before he left, he received a letter from the university allowing him to defer for 2 years. Peter returned to school after his mission, but his missionary service, he says, was the best education I've had. The gospel taught him that helping people to be successful is the most important leadership principle. After completing his bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering, Elder Muirs worked as project engineer for Esso Australia and was a founding partner of Worley Parsons Limited. He recently served as director of development for Fortescue Metals Group. Following his mission, he married a woman he calls his best friend, Maxine Evelyn Thatcher, on January 2, 1979, in the Hamilton, New Zealand Temple. They have 4 children and 9 grandchildren. Elder Muirs, born on December 21, 1956, in Warrnambool, Victoria, Australia, to Frederick and Lois Jones Muirs, has served in many callings, including as Elders Quorum President, Ward Organist, Ward and Stake Young Men President, Public Affairs Director, Branch and District President, Bishop, Stake President, and Area 70. Elder K. Brett Natras and his wife Shauna Lee Adamson Natras describe themselves as imperfect people looking for perfect moments. They have found many such moments over the course of their lives. All are connected in some way to the Savior and the Atonement, says Elder Natras. Elder Natras says he was born of goodly parents, David and Judy Sorensen Natras, and remembers his mother reading the Book of Mormon to the family every day. On one occasion, he was home on a break from college. He was focused on upcoming finals and was not feeling right, though he didn't feel physically ill. "If you're feeling well and don't feel right," his mother told him, "you need to go serve somebody." Brett threw a snow shovel in the back of the family pickup and went around shoveling the driveways of the widows in the ward. He felt much better. "I was so focused on myself and the finals, I had forgotten that the real purpose of life is to serve others," he says. Elder Natras was born on March 4, 1965, in Pocatello, Idaho, USA. The family moved to Lehi, Utah, USA, where he and his 5 siblings experienced life on a small family farm. He met his future bride while they were both seniors at neighboring high schools. After he returned from serving in the California Sacramento Mission from 1984 to 1986, they were married in the Salt Lake Temple on April 24, 1987. They have 7 children. He attended Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, and graduated from the University of Utah in 1990 with a degree in physical therapy. With his brother David, he co-founded Advanced Health Care Corporation in 2000. Elder Natras has served in numerous church callings, including as Ward Young Men President, Bishop, Stake Young Men President, Stake President, and Area 70. At the time of his call, he was presiding over the newly formed Arizona Gilbert Mission.
Elder S. Mark Palmer, First Quorum of the 70. In 1992, time was a precious and limited commodity for Elder S. Mark Palmer and his wife, Jacqueline. Elder Palmer was serving on a stake high council at the time. He was also working hard to build his professional career. Sister Palmer's time was stretched just as thin. The Palmers were raising six children in their Austin, Texas, USA home, including a six-month-old baby boy. When their stake president invited them to serve as workers at the Dallas, Texas Temple, they didn't know how they could handle one more duty, but they accepted the call and then prayerfully asked for the Lord's help. Making a monthly bus trip to serve all day in the temple required sacrifice and careful planning, but it blessed our lives enormously, says Elder Palmer. Serving in the temple, he adds, prepared him spiritually for future priesthood callings. It also made him a better husband and father, and he found balance in his busy life. Going to the temple often helps you reset your priorities and be reminded of the covenants you have made, he says. Stanley Mark Palmer was born on February 11, 1956, in Tapuki, New Zealand, to Kenneth and Jill Palmer. His family joined the church when he was a young boy. He served a full-time mission in the New Zealand Wellington Mission. After earning an undergraduate degree at the University of Auckland, he enrolled in the Master of Business Administration program at Brigham Young University. While living in Provo, Utah, USA, he met a returned missionary named Jacqueline Wood on a blind date. They were married on December 18, 1981, in the Salt Lake Temple. The Palmers have six children and nine grandchildren. Elder Palmer is the founder and president of SMP Ventures, a real estate development company. He has served as bishop, stake president, president of the Washington Spokane Mission from 2009 through 2012, interim president of the Australia Sydney South Mission 2014, and Area 70. Elder Gary B. Sabin, First Quorum of the 70. Three Christmas trees stand out in the memory of Elder Gary B. Sabin. The first was a beautiful Christmas tree of his youth. When Gary scaled the tree trying to reach a candy cane, the entire tree crashed to the ground. The second was an evergreen branch he found as a missionary while serving in Belgium and the Netherlands from 1973 to 1975. Elder Sabin and his companion took the branch home to their apartment and propped it up around the Christmas cards they had received from home. The third was a tree made of Christmas lights strung on a stand next to his daughter's hospital bed. One of three Sabin children to suffer from cystic fibrosis, his daughter had received a double lung transplant 1 year after the death of her brother from the same disease. We have learned a lot more from our children than they have learned from us, says Elder Sabin. As a general authority, he will remember the Christmas trees and the lessons he's learned from them. Each tree highlights portions of his journey, from a young boy wanting a candy cane, to a missionary teaching the plan of salvation, to a father who relied on the plan and the Savior's love to sustain his family through mortal trials. Gary Byron Sabin was born in Provo, Utah, USA, on April 7, 1954, to Marvin E. and Sylvia W. Sabin. He married Valerie Purdy in August 1976. They are the parents of five children. A sixth child was stillborn. After graduating from Brigham Young University in Provo, Elder Sabin earned a master's degree in management from Stanford University. Elder Sabin has served in numerous church callings, including as bishop, stake president, and Area 70. He has worked as a founder, chairman, and CEO of several companies, including XL Realty Trust, Price Legacy, XL Realty Holdings, and XL Trust. In 1993, Elder and Sister Sabin formed Sabin Children's Foundation, an organization dedicated to addressing the medical needs of children.
Elder Evan A. Schmutz, First Quorum of the 70. Elder Evan Anton Schmutz is grateful for the revelatory experiences entrusted to him by the Lord. His conversion to the gospel has been deepened through regular scripture study, service in the kingdom, and obedience to his commitments to God. Born on June 6, 1954, in St. George, Utah, USA, to Richard and Miriam Schmutz, Elder Schmutz learned early about the power of prayer. As a Cub Scout, he sold $17 U.S. worth of tickets to a jamboree, but couldn't find the money when it was time to turn it in. His mother encouraged him to pray, and the Lord revealed to him exactly where the money was. It was a strong confirmation of God's love for and awareness of him. At 18, Elder Schmutz lost his older sister to an auto accident. It had a tremendous impact on him, bringing about significant spiritual experiences. Shortly thereafter, he was called on a mission and reported for training. He prayed for a personal witness of the gospel. While observing some instructors teaching about the first vision, he says, "I received a testimony so powerful that I could hardly stay in the room." After serving in the North Carolina Greensboro Mission, Elder Schmutz made a point of continuing to study the scriptures every day for the rest of his life. "I have found great joy, personal learning, and understanding through early morning study for a long, long time." Elder Schmutz married Cindy Lee Sims on February 3, 1978, in the Provo, Utah Temple. Elder Schmutz earned a degree in English and a Juris Doctorate from Brigham Young University. He worked professionally for several law firms from 1984 to 2016. While managing the demands of five children, Elder Schmutz served as a high counselor, bishop, member of a stake presidency, president of the Philippine Cebu Mission from 2011 to 2014, Missionary Training Center branch president, and as a member of the Fifth Quorum of the 70. Sister Joy D. Jones, Primary General President. For Joy D. Jones, her loving parents were her heroes. "I felt like my dad could do anything," Sister Jones says of her father, an electrician. Of her mother, she says, "My mom was an amazing woman who made everything from the food the family ate to the clothes they wore from scratch. To me, she was a saint, and I wanted to grow up to be like her." In addition to cherishing memories of her parents, Aldo Harmon and Eleanor Ellsworth Harmon, Sister Jones cherishes the childhood memory of listening to Elder Robert L. Backman as he spoke in a district conference in Oregon, USA. Elder Backman, now an Emeritus General Authority 70, was mission president at the time. "I felt something very powerful when he was talking," Sister Jones says. "I felt something really different than I had felt before. I am so grateful for that, because I received a witness from the Spirit that the things he was saying were true." Joy Diane Harmon was born on July 20, 1954, in The Dalles, Oregon. Both she and her future husband, Robert Bruce Jones, grew up in Oregon, but they met at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, USA. They were married on August 14, 1974, in the Manti, Utah Temple. They have five children and 17 grandchildren. Soon after she earned an Associate of Science degree in family living, they moved to Portland, Oregon, and later to Santa Rosa, California, USA, where Brother Jones practiced as a chiropractic physician. Brother and Sister Jones felt impressed to move to Draper, Utah, 22 years ago. Sister Jones has enjoyed the blessings of living close to a temple ever since. "The Jordan River, Utah Temple became my sacred space," she says. I have a testimony of the power of the temple and the peace and direction that it has brought me in my life. Sister Jones has served as a Ward Relief Society president and primary president, and as a counselor in Ward and Stake Relief Society, Young Women, and primary presidencies. She served most recently on the primary general board.
Sister Jean B. Bingham, first counselor, primary general presidency. For almost 6 years, Sister Jean Barris Bingham has loved serving in her calling on the primary general board. She has visited the homes of members and attended primaries, witnessing the strong faith of Latter-day Saints, especially the primary children, around the world. Sister Bingham, who was recently sustained as the first counselor in the primary general presidency, has spent much of her life teaching, nurturing, and loving children. Whether it has been with her younger siblings growing up, her own two daughters, her foster daughters, grandchildren, visitors to her home, or those she has met as a member of the primary general board, she has been an advocate and source of strength for many. Every child has wonderful potential, and if we see them through Heavenly Father's eyes, we can help them become all that He has designed them to be, she says. Born on June 10, 1952, in Provo, Utah, USA, to Edith Joy Clark and Robert Roland Barris, Sister Bingham is the third of nine children. When she was 3 months old, her family moved to Indiana so her father could continue his schooling. In the first 6 years of her life, Sister Bingham and her family lived in four states. After graduating from high school in New Jersey, Sister Bingham moved to Provo, Utah, to attend Brigham Young University. In her second year there, she met her future husband, Bruce Bryan Bingham, a farm boy from Illinois who was baptized as a teenager with his parents. They were married on December 22, 1972, in the Provo, Utah Temple. Her lifetime of church service has included time as a ward primary president, young women president, counselor in a relief society presidency, stake young women president, temple worker, and early morning seminary teacher. The pattern I have seen in her life over our 43 years of marriage is a consistent adherence to the promptings of the Spirit, Brother Bingham says of his wife. She has over and over done what the Lord wanted her to do. Sister Bonnie H. Corden, Second Counselor, Primary General Presidency. Throughout her childhood in Southeast Idaho, USA, Bonnie Hillam Corden learned many important life lessons. Working, playing, and living on a farm taught her self-reliance, hard work, and not to be afraid to try things, says the new Second Counselor in the Primary General Presidency. The most important lesson, however, came from her parents, Harold and Carol Rasmussen Hillam, who taught her that with the help of the Lord, she could do anything. There are no limits, her father would say. Sister Corden relied on that knowledge as a newly called missionary in Lisbon, Portugal, struggling to learn Portuguese. I was on my knees a lot, asking for a miracle, but because of my father, I had learned that I could do hard things. After much prayer, work, and patience, she slowly became fluent in Portuguese, which blessed her many years later when she and her husband were called to serve in Curitiba, Brazil. It's interesting how the Lord prepares us and builds us a little at a time, she says. It always makes more sense when we look in the rearview mirror. We just have to have faith. Bonnie Hillam was born on March 11, 1964, in Idaho Falls, Idaho. After her mission, she studied education at Brigham Young University in Provo, Utah, USA. While there, she became good friends with Derek Lane Corden. Their friendship blossomed into romance, and the two were married on April 25, 1986, in the Salt Lake Temple. They have four children, three boys and one girl, and three grandsons. Through the years, they have served in many church callings. She served with her husband as he presided over the Brazil Curitiba mission from 2010 to 2013, and she has served as a stake young women president, nursery leader, and seminary teacher, and in ward young women, relief society, and primary organizations. In her new assignment, Sister Corden says she hopes to teach one essential truth to the primary children of the church. Heavenly Father loves them.
New 70s, primary presidency sustained. 11 new general authority 70s, 62 area 70s, and a new primary general presidency were sustained during the Saturday afternoon session of April 2016 General Conference. Called as new general authority 70s were Elders W. Mark Bassett, Mark A. Bragg, Weatherford T. Clayton, Valerie V. Cordon, Joaquin E. Costa, Massimo De Feo, Peter F. Muirs, K. Brett Natras, S. Mark Palmer, Gary B. Sabine, and Evan A. Schmutz. Joy D. Jones was sustained as primary general president, with Jean B. Bingham as her first counselor and Bonnie H. Corden as second counselor. Biographies of these leaders are found starting on page 131. LDS.org Conference Section Redesigned. Finding and studying General Conference addresses online will now be easier than ever thanks to the redesign of the General Conference section of LDS.org. Features include quick identification of desired addresses with photographs of each speaker located next to the title of the address. A single navigation bar atop all pages allowing 1. Access to all General Conferences from 1971 to the present, 2. The ability to search by the speaker's name, and 3. The ability to search for talks according to gospel topics. Simplified presentation of each individual address, incorporating icons at the top of each page for those who wish to listen, download, print, or share. The new design works well for desktop, laptop, and mobile device users. The changes are already incorporated in English, Spanish, and Portuguese and will be made available in more than 80 languages in coming months. Take a look at the changes at conference.lds.org.
New missions announced. 3 new missions have been created, 2 in Africa and 1 in Asia. They are the Democratic Republic of the Congo Mabuji Mai Mission, the Nigeria Oweri Mission, and the Vietnam Hanoi Mission. Each of these new missions will be created by realigning boundaries of the existing missions and will be operational on or before July 1, 2016. New Ministering Resources. 4 new topics have been added to Ministering Resources, ministering.lds.org, to support stake and ward leaders as they minister to the following groups: caregivers, missionaries who return home early, couples who struggle with marital conflict, and individuals who struggle with mental illness. Members of the ward council have access to these resources to help them learn how to better help members. The resources are available in English and will soon be translated into 9 additional languages. Transforming Gospel Learning and Teaching. Learning, living, and teaching the gospel are critical to our personal growth and are essential parts of our Sabbath day worship. As part of the ongoing effort to help members grow as they build faith in Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and improve Sabbath worship, the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles introduced during General Conference leadership meetings a new effort to improve teaching and learning the gospel. Members are invited to 1. Adopt the principles in teaching in the Savior's way. This new manual focuses on the simple but powerful principles the master teacher used. The goal for every teacher, as stated in the manual, is to teach the pure doctrine of the gospel by the Spirit in order to help God's children build their faith in the Savior and become more like Him. Although the manual is intended for those with a calling to teach, anyone will find it useful in learning to teach the way the Savior taught. Parents can benefit from applying the principles within the booklet when teaching at home. 2. Participate in teacher council meetings. Teacher council meetings are not the same as previous teacher improvement courses. As councils, these meetings will provide opportunities for teachers to discuss together and learn from each other the principles of teaching in the Savior's way. These meetings, to be held once a month during the Sunday block of meetings, will be rolled out worldwide throughout 2016. 3. Be diligent gospel learners. Members and teachers alike are encouraged to be diligent gospel learners at home. Learning and living the gospel during the week prepares members to participate in Sunday lessons, which can create more meaningful learning experiences for everyone. As children of our Heavenly Father, we all have the potential to become like Him. Anyone willing to learn and live the gospel can become more like our heavenly parents and return to live with them. Worship at church and in the home helps us build that kind of faith in Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. Find the new manual and learn more at teaching.lds.org.
More Scriptures editions available. Scriptures have recently been made available in several languages. In Portuguese, a printed edition of the Bible and an updated edition of the Triple Combination are now available. A digital edition has been available since September 2015 at acescrituras.lds.org and on the Gospel Library mobile app. Additional information is available in Portuguese at bibliasagrada.lds.org. In Spanish, updated editions of the standard works are available online at escrituras.lds.org and in the Gospel Library mobile app. Printed copies will begin to be available by the end of June 2016. The new triple combination in Marshallese, Hosa, and Zulu, and the Book of Mormon in Chukis are now printed and available through distribution centers and at store.lds.org. They are also available online and in the Gospel Library mobile app. Scripture translations in 16 additional languages, previously available only in print, were published on lds.org and in the Gospel Library app. The triple combination in Afrikaans, Armenian, Bulgarian, Cambodian, Fante, Igbo, Latvian, Lithuanian, Shona, and Swahili, and the Book of Mormon in Hindi, Hmong, Serbian, Tok-Pisin, Twi, and Yapiz. Patriarchal Blessings Online. New online tools will enable members to have easier access to patriarchal blessings. Members can request a copy of their patriarchal blessing in digital form and request a copy of blessings from deceased ancestors received via mail or email. Priesthood leaders can submit online recommendations for blessings, and patriarchs can view recommendations for blessings and submit digital text of blessings after the blessings are given. These tools are now available to more than 50% of the Church's stakes in English, Spanish, and Portuguese. By next year, they should be available in 14 languages and to all stakes. To learn more or to request a copy of your patriarchal blessing, go to apps.lds.org/PBREQUEST. Teachings for Our Time. From May 2016 through October 2016, Melchizedek Priesthood and Relief Society lessons on Fourth Sundays are prepared from one or more talks given in the April 2016 General Conference. In October 2016, talks may be selected from either the April or October General Conference. Stake and district presidents choose which talks will be used in their areas, or they may delegate this responsibility to bishops and branch presidents. The talks are available in many languages at conference.lds.org.
With the approval of the First Presidency, the General Presidencies of the Relief Society, Young Women, and Primary are inviting women of all ages to give service to refugees in their neighborhoods and local communities through a relief effort titled I was a stranger. See Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34, and Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. There are many among us who can be blessed by friendship, mentoring, and other Christ-like love and service, said Sister Linda K. Burton, Relief Society General President. Giving such service is a fundamental part of the gospel. I am reminded of the scripture that says we should not be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Sister Burton said, "We encourage sisters to prayerfully seek opportunities to serve and to consider finding ways to support trusted local community and civic organizations. You may find some helpful ideas at iwasastranger.lds.org, and you can share experiences by sending an email to iwasastranger@ldschurch.org. A letter from the First Presidency concerning I Was a Stranger was sent to stake, ward, and branch councils at the end of March. Guidelines for leaders accompanied the letter. Sisters may participate in this effort when time and circumstances allow, the letter counsels, making sure that no one is expected to run faster than she has strength, and that all things are done in wisdom and order. Mosiah chapter 4, verse 27. A First Presidency letter dated October 27, 2015, also encouraged all members to render Christ-like service to those in need. A letter from the Relief Society, Young Women, and Primary General Presidents giving more information about I Was a Stranger was also recently distributed in meetings of those organizations.
150 temples operating. During the Sunday morning session of the conference, President Thomas S. Monson announced plans to build 4 additional temples in Belém, Brazil, Quito, Ecuador, Lima, Peru, and Harare, Zimbabwe. Since the last General Conference, these events involving temples have occurred. Dedications and rededications. With the dedication of the Provo City Center Temple in Provo, Utah, USA, the Church now has 150 temples in operation around the world. The temple was dedicated on March 20th, 2016, days before the 180th anniversary of the March 27th, 1836 dedication of the Kirtland Temple, the first temple of the Restoration. 3 other temples were dedicated or rededicated: the Montreal, Quebec Temple in November 2015, the Tijuana, Mexico Temple in December 2015, and the Suva Fiji Temple in February 2016. Dedications are also scheduled for the Sapporo Japan Temple, August 21st, 2016, the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Temple, September 18th, 2016, the Fort Collins, Colorado Temple, October 16th, 2016, the Star Valley, Wyoming Temple, October 30th, 2016, and the Hartford, Connecticut Temple, November 20th, 2016. The renovated Freiburg, Germany Temple will be rededicated on September 4th, 2016. Construction and renovations. Construction continues on the Concepcion, Chile Temple, Paris, France Temple, Rome, Italy Temple, and the following temples in the United States: Cedar City, Utah, Meridian, Idaho, and Tucson, Arizona. Completion dates range from 2016 through 2018. Full-scale construction is pending for the Fortaleza, Brazil Temple, the Frankfurt, Germany, Jordan River, Utah, and Idaho Falls, Idaho temples are undergoing renovation. Groundbreakings. Groundbreakings were held for the Lisbon, Portugal Temple in December 2015, and the Barranquilla, Colombia Temple, and the Kinshasa Democratic Republic of the Congo Temple in February 2016. The Durban South Africa Temple groundbreaking took place on April 9, 2016. Planning and preparation. These temples have been announced but are still in planning and preparation stages. Abidjan, Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire, Arequipa, Peru, Bangkok, Thailand, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Urdaneta, Philippines, and Winnipeg, Manitoba. For more about temples, go to temples.lds.org.
Prophets and apostles minister. As special witnesses of the name of Christ in all the world, prophets and apostles continue a worldwide ministry. Since the last General Conference, members of the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles have, in addition to other assignments, used social media and face-to-face events to reach out to youth and young adults. See lds.org/youth/activities. Spoken at anti-pornography and family history conferences. Spoken at universities about becoming true millennials and in defense of faith and moral values. Met with church members and leaders, government officials and religious leaders in Argentina, Botswana, Chile, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Ecuador, Mozambique, Peru, the Philippines, Uruguay, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. To learn more about the ministry of prophets and apostles, go to prophets.lds.org. Church growing in Africa. Growth of the church in Africa has continued at a strong rate for the past 30 years. At the beginning of 2016, there were 1,600 LDS congregations in Africa, with more than 500,000 members of the church. That is 11 times more wards and branches and 20 times more members there than in 1985. In 2015, the church created 17 new stakes throughout Africa. Leaders attribute the growth, at least in part, to the gospel focus on family. Hioa Castanera, a stake president in Maputo, Mozambique, says, "The members look for a church that bring them happiness." Joao Castanera, a stake president in Maputo, Mozambique, says, "The members look for a church that brings them happiness, and the restored gospel of Christ brings happiness to families." "I really feel this is Africa's time," says Elder Edward Duoub of the 70, a native of Zimbabwe. "The Lord's hand is in the continent."
Doing good around the world. Latter-day Saints continue to follow the Savior's example of going about doing good from Acts 10:38. Here are some recent examples. In Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, church members and friends from 9 countries in the Middle East, native to 6 continents, gathered for a conference and interfaith humanitarian project. They assembled and distributed 8,500 hygiene kits and food packages. In Uganda, 2 dentists and 3 oral hygienists, all Latter-day Saints, spent a week filling cavities, extracting and cleaning teeth, teaching good oral hygiene, and instructing local dentists and dental students on best practices. In Malaysia, church members focused on the family during the celebration of the Chinese New Year, an event that traditionally includes visiting burial sites as ancestors are remembered, honored, and revered. In Thailand, members ages 18 to 35 gathered in Bangkok for a cooking competition and a service project. In Fiji, members and missionaries provided relief efforts to victims of Cyclone Winston. Church leaders worked with governmental and non-governmental organizations to provide food, water, tents, hygiene packs, and other emergency supplies. Changes to family history and temple service. New tools and procedures will help individuals and families doing family history and temple service. Members can now print temple ordinance cards at home on white paper and bring them to the temple. Temples have a family priority time, enabling families to schedule a time to perform ordinances together without a long wait. Recent converts performing proxy baptisms for the first time can schedule an appointment so the temple can be prepared to receive and welcome them. A new limited-use recommend can be created online and printed by priesthood leaders. The recommend is activated when printed and is valid when signed by the member and the bishop.